Joshua 9. We'll start in verse 3. The Bible says in the King James Bible, Joshua 9:3, "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, and old and rent, and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey." Y'all must have Ruttman reference Bibles. I heard a bunch of pages turning. "And go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. These our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them, to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them." All right, you can be seated now. Brother Utley, my preacher, will you please pray?
Our Father, we come to thee in the name which is above everything. That's the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, our God, for the blood that was shed on Calvary. We can have life and have it more abundant. Lord, I'm asking by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, anoint your servant. Use him greatly and mightily. Father, we need to hear from you. You know, we need to hear today from you what you want us to do as the people of God. So I ask you, Father, drive back the opposing powers of hell. Loose him in the power of the Spirit of God. Give him the understanding. Give him that which he needs to bring forth this great eternal truth found on the greatest book this world has ever known. That's the King James Bible. And God, I'll thank you and I'll praise you. I'll give glory and honor and praise to no one but my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I've never addressed such a big group of Bible believers before. And so I appreciate the opportunity, as most everybody has said. You guys are known for your Bible knowledge. The fundamentalists know our crowd as the people who know their Bibles, and maybe some bad things too. But mainly for, you know, these guys know, you know, they might can out-talk us if we're talking about a Bible subject. Now, the person that we learned a lot of our stuff from has passed away. About, what, 2016? Dr. Ruttman was known as God's junkyard dog. One of the reasons he was known for that is because when heresies would start to come in, okay, he would address it. He might would write a book about it, or he might address it in the bulletin. And he was known for that because he would take a stand. He was, you know, the old soldier, the old preacher. And so, an interesting thing has happened since he passed away. We've all kept going and we've talked about how part of his mantle went to this guy, part of this mantle went to that guy. Brother Peacock's carrying on, you know, the local church part, and Dr. Walker's, you know, pushing the Bible doctrine with dispensationalism, and, you know, it's gone to different people. But there's been some heresies creep in the past 5 years that seemed almost as if the timing was wait till the junkyard dog is gone. Does that make sense? What about Stephen Anderson? Okay, everybody knows who that is. That kind of came out after Dr. Upman had already passed on. And there's some other ones, too, that may mention later on. And I'm not here to talk about them. I'm here to talk about the tactics that the enemy uses to penetrate us. Because part of standing is knowing how the enemy is going to operate. Any soldier that's worth his salt is going to know how the enemy operates to a certain degree. He's going to know about the enemy's weapons. He's going to know what their insignia is. And he's going to know about what they're going to do before they do it. Any of you that's played football, you watch film from the other team, so you know what they're going to do. Now here we have, in Joshua chapter 9, we have, God has given us a blueprint of how the enemy will attack. Alright, so let's look at the first one. Look at chapter 3, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, so they know that the force here, the Israelites, they know that they're not a pushover. They've already wrecked Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. And we know that Ai, yeah, they might have missed on their first try, but the second try, I mean, they wiped them out big time, okay? They know what's going on. Verse 4, they did work wilily. Now, in Ephesians 6, which has been read multiple times, you have an attribute of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Amen. You know the first mention, which is an important part of studying Scripture? The first mention of form of wiles is in Numbers 25, where it's talking about the Midianites with Balaam, you know, cast a stumbling block. Wilily. Y'all ever watch Bugs Bunny? Okay. Wily Coyote. Alright. Now that's how Satan operates. He doesn't always come through the front door. A lot of times he'll come through the back door. Alright. Now look what else we're dealing with here. Alright. This group, these Gibeonites, are also known as Hivites. You'll find that later in verse 7. It says, and the men of Israel said unto the Hivites. Now, who were the Hivites? Remember Shechem and Hamor in Genesis 34? And they defiled Dinah. I guess that's how you say it. And Simeon and Levi got all indignant about it, and they went and cut everybody up. All right? Those were Hivites. Hamor the Hivite. So you have almost a boomerang effect here. They did wrong, and now the Hivites going to get them. It's going to come back around. Now, look at verse 4. The Bible says, they did work wilily and went and made as if. So they're not making who they really are. And whenever the devil's crowd attacks, they normally don't come right out and say, I'm going to try to mess your church up. They'll come in and they'll agree with you. Okay? They're going to make as if. Remember in 2 Thessalonians where talking about the son of perdition, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? You have a crowd here, these Gibeonites are a type of the Antichrist, going to deceive the Jewish people in the tribulation period. Amen. And the crowds that are going to try to mess your churches up or mess your families up, if you're a man who has a family, they're acting like the Antichrist. Alright? Wilily. Now look at verse 4. They did work wildly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent up and bound up, and old shoes clouded upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. They looked the part. How many of you have had somebody come into your church like this? Raise your hand if you will. Okay? Did they come in wearing skinny jeans and Converses and white belts and looking like that? No, they probably came in with a suit and tie on. They probably came in carrying a Bible that looked like a King James Bible with a black cover. Hey, I know this is weird coming from a young guy, but our junkyard dog, and I don't mean that irreverently at all, okay? He has ran his race. And we're here.
Amen. Come on, preacher.
We're here, and if we just lay down, the enemy will infiltrate. They've already tried it. There's been three times, not long after Dr. Upman passed away, you had a man write a book. Okay? I don't have to give names. Y'all know who it is. He wrote a book, and he had already written a dispensational book, but he wrote it, and it was kind of deceptive there, had the same cover look on it, and the content was changed. And you know what everybody was kind of looking like? Okay, well, Dr. Upman's gone. Is Brother Donovan going to do anything? What's going on? Well, you look in the Bible Believer's Bulletin, one book, rightly divided, wrongly divided twice or something like that was the name of the bulletin article. And then what you know, Dr. Walker comes out, King James Only, Revised Dispensationalism Dismantled. And Dr. Peacock made it mandatory reading for us TBDI students. That really helped me. Hey, that's what you call picking up the mantle. Now that's not always a fun mantle to pick up, but it's extremely necessary. You realize that unity without truth is whoredom. It's whoredom. That's what the children of Israel did. And that's what God warned against them. You don't give your daughters unto their sons and your sons. You don't take their daughters because they'll cause you to go their way. And that's the stance that the Catholic Church has had, the Society of Jesus known as the Jesuits. That's how they operate. They'll come in and look like one of us or one of whoever they're trying to take over, whatever Protestant church or whatever. And they want leaders of position where they can change, but they don't start out like that.
Amen.
They'll start out sitting on the back road looking all orthodox. And that's how that thing goes. So here we have verse 5 and verse 6. That they're looking the part. Remember, this is our blueprint. You want to find out what the Bible, what God has to say about something? This is where we look. All right? So, look at verse 6. And they went to Gilgal. Let's see here. Okay. And they went to Gilgal unto the camp, and they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country, now therefore, make ye a league with us. Now here's the strategy. Just coming and hanging out can only go so far. It's like, if any of you veterans or whatever, I'm not, but I like reading, stuff about it. It's cool. Every guy likes war, and to a certain extent if you're, a real man. But anyway, the thing about it the thing about it is that y'all calls me to lose my concentration. Oh yeah, league. So the thing about it is, whenever you're going to accomplish something, you can't stay in one place. You got to keep moving, okay? And these inhabitants of Gibeon, they came in, they looked the part, but then they said, "Let's make a league." All right. Now, how is that done on a practical application to us? Well, I sure need a Sunday school teacher, and this guy, man, he really knows the Bible, and he says amen when I preach. And he has a super nice family. All his kids they listen to him real well. And, I've even been to his house, and, a few things kind of odd, but overall, this guy I think would be a good one. And nobody's sitting in the Sunday school class to listen to what's going on. And then you get years and years of going by because the Sunday school superintendent isn't doing his job, and you've got a younger generation that's come up with false doctrine. Okay? Look, that's just how it goes. Okay? So look, verse 7. And the men of Israel, said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? Now look at verse 8. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. Submission. Hey, you know what the big old tactic that the Jesuits are known for? The end justifies the means. So hey, if we can overtake this assembly, it's okay to submit to them for 5 years. Submission. False submission. Okay? Now Let's see. Okay, so let's keep rolling on. Look at verse 9. And they said unto them, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. You know what? They say that they worship in the same God we are. Good friend of mine, Brother Mitch Knupp, we do some ministry together. He had a debate with this guy who actually came out of our crowd. He's an ESV skinny jean guy. And the thing about it is, the debate was over the King James Bible. And this guy's opening statement. He says, I'm a Bible believer. I believe the King James Bible. I use the King James Bible when I preach. And if you use it, you have a good Bible to use. Hey, you can't go by what people say. Because if you followed him back to his church, you would see everything going on. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's bad, because guess what? Some of these people want to get right. I know of one guy personally who came out of the Steven Anderson crowd, and he's just looking for truth. And to kick him to the side, oh, you know, you're some mole trying to take the church over. Uh-uh. We got to help them if they'll keep their mouth shut. But the problem is when they want to try to convert people. Okay? So, let's go on down. Verse 9, they said unto them, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. They'll talk about the works of the Lord and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites. Now go on down and let's look at verse 14. And we'll wrap this up and get somebody else up here. And the men took of their victuals. That's food. Okay? It's not victuals, even though it looks like that. All right? And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Some of these people are so sly that you can't tell them apart. You realize the Antichrist is going to be almost just like Jesus Christ? You have the line of the tribe of Judah in Revelation, what is it, chapter 5? And then you have, as a lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You have the good shepherd in the Gospels. And then, was it Zechariah 13? You have the idol shepherd. The Antichrist is going to be looking just like Jesus Christ. And he's going to have some characteristics of Jesus Christ, or he won't be able to deceive anybody. Miracles, that's going to come back. The Jews require a sign, and his crowd are going to act just like us. They're going to look just like us, and they may even be carrying a Ruckman reference Bible. So, there you go. That's the message.